evangelizing around the world. And God let Paul know that that time was over, and he was to go back to Jerusalem, and there, as you know, to be taken into custody, and eventually, by the hand of the Romans in Rome, his head was chopped off at the Mamertine prison. Several verses in the Bible talk about that, and probably the greatest known is when Paul said, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I'm ready to be offered up." And what a joy that would be to know that you had done all that God required of you and just be ready, huh? What a joy. But as Paul was headed back to Jerusalem, he was checking in with his churches as he went to give them their final instructions. And in Acts in chapter number 20, we're going to begin reading in verse 17, if you'd stand with me. I'm just going to read down through verse 21, but in the message we'll preach down through verse 38. But in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come before your throne now. And Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the years I've had here at Landmark Baptist Church as pastor. Who knew 28 years ago all that would come to pass in these years? Thank you for these, some here who have been with me for the 28 years, others that have been saved and baptized along the way. And God, the work continues on. Thank you for Brother Destry and Miss Amber, and the thrill of knowing that they'll be able to follow on in the Landmark Baptist Church. God, I pray that you would bless now the preaching of the Word of God today. Help us to grasp these truths, Lord, not just in a farewell sermon, though that's what it is, but also in a spiritual way that it might speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 22 says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Today's my last Sunday as your pastor, Landmark Baptist Church. What a blessing it's been. 28 years ago when I came, I was talking to Miss Leah this morning. She was a little bitty tiny baby in the nursery. And it's so many thoughts. This morning I'd like to offer a farewell sermon based on this farewell that Paul gave to the leaders from the church at Ephesus. And he talked from different directions here. In verse 17 to 21, he talked about the past. About the past. Look back over the time. He said, since I came from Asia. And we look back over the past 28 years. And I want to encourage you to remember the positive things. Things that we've accomplished in the name of the Lord. There were, by the way, negative things too, huh? Yeah, we remember some of them, some disasters, some broken hearts, some sad things. But Paul tells the Ephesians here what kind of things that they should be looking at as he passes through on his last trip on the way to Jerusalem. And I hope that you, as you reflect on these years, that you'll see that I've tried to be an example to you in these things. First, Paul says here in verse number 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. And Paul says first, he tried to give them a humble servant. Not a pat on the back, you know. Not a, I love me, I love me. Whoo, that's loud, isn't it? I take myself to my favorite place. I put my arm around my waist, and if I get fresh, I slap my face. Because I love me, you know. And not that kind of service, but rather a humble service. Striving to be a blessing and not to demand more than that. And then he says, I try to be a practical teacher. In verse number 20 here, he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And Paul said, I didn't just want to be your leader. I didn't just want to stand before you and preach a message. I didn't just want to tell you things, but I wanted to be a profitable type of teacher that would train you and teach you and show you how to grow up and walk in the things of the Lord, how to be a child of God, how to be a servant of God, how to treat other people, how to have an association with God. And he said, I taught you publicly, standing in the pulpit and preaching, and I taught you from house to house, going down the streets and stopping in and saying hello and talking about the things of God. And then in verse number 21, he says he's been faithfully preaching. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And so three things here that Paul is saying that he wants the Ephesians to remember. One was his demeanor, who he was among them, and the person that they saw when he came in among them, a humble servant of God that loved God and loved them. And then second, that he was a practical teacher, that he had taught them from house to house and door to door, and then that he was a preacher of the Word of God. Today, I think of hundreds of people that have been saved and baptized in Landmark Baptist Church in 28 years. What a joy. What a joy. We got the water drawn back there today. Brother Destry's going to baptize this morning. I love to get wet. you know. A lot of preachers wear waders into the baptistry so they don't have to get wet, but I always just like to get wet, you know. I think when John the Baptist went down into the river, the muddy river Jordan, he probably didn't wear waders. I think he probably had on enough clothes to be modest and baptize people. And what a joy it was for Cookie and I Thursday night to be able to lead a man to the Lord. Amen. Or Thursday morning, rather. And talk to him about Jesus and what he'd done for him. And it's been our privilege to lead some of you to the Lord. And what a joy. I mean, what excitement it has been through the ages. And these years we've made friends that have blessed our lives and in more ways than I can number. Boy, I'll tell you, my heart was lifted today as I stepped back out from my office. I'd gone back there for a second and came out here and saw Brother Stewart standing in here, he big as a mountain. And what a joy that to see you guys, to see Miss thank you, Vicky and Mary.
Zellamay,
my goodness, why all the names are gone. To Miss Corey, just to see you guys come in from distances, you know, and see some of you that have made trips here, even from other churches that you are at now because of the relationship that we had while you're here. And I want to say thank you. Thank you. Friendships that have lasted down through the years and will last for the years to come. You know, lifelong friends that have loved the Lord and through Him we've loved each other. And you know, I've loved you and you've loved me and you prove it. And what a joy. We've had memorable services here at Landmark Baptist Church, you know. Some exciting. I mean, I remember when we opened this building and had 279 here for our first service in this building. You know, that was a memory. And some embarrassing, you know, like when I preached the whole service with my zipper undone. And Brother D handed me a note after it was over and said, "Your zipper's undone." Then I said, "What?" And I've been talking about the waggy-tongued lady. I mean, you know, both ways. You look back down through the years, you know, and some will make you laugh and some will make you cry. Funeral services, some of the greatest people I've ever known. And what a joy to be able to have a part. Weddings sometimes of kids that have grown up in our church, and we've seen them from this size to this size, and now they're getting married. And wow, just a joy. People that we can see nearly, of course, after 28 years, you can't go anywhere where you don't see somebody you know, nearly anywhere in town. And just friends. We've had times to shout about, times to cry together. But throughout it all, we've tried to stay faithful to the book. Sometimes, when it wasn't easy to do because it hurt somebody's feelings or bothered somebody, you know, and they got upset about it. But using the book as a guideline, recognizing that if God says it, that's it. You know, you can debate about things that God doesn't say, whether a preacher can actually wear a colored shirt to preach in or not, you know. I mean, I've always preached in white shirts. People tease me about that. But I always said I don't want my shirt to draw my attention to myself, because when I'm preaching, I want to draw attention to God. And that was my conviction. But listen, another preacher get up here and preach in a bright blue shirt and bother me a bit. Now, if he preaches in pink, I have a little problem. But, you know, but it doesn't bother me a bit. But when it comes to the doctrine, how you do the Lord's Supper, who you allow to be members of your church, how you preach the gospel, what Bible that you use, what kind of songs that you sing, what important things, you know, that we go back to the book and we say, well, the Bible says, and just to say we've tried to stay by the book and to call sin by its name. My goodness, you know, sin destroying this nation. It's destroying churches. It's destroying lives, families. And it needs to be named, you know. And God's word never changes. It's always the same. And Paul said, as you look back, as you look back into the past, he says, remember these things. Remember that I've tried to come humbly before you, and that I've tried to teach you all the things that are profitable to you, and that I've preached the truth of God unto you. But then he dealt with them in verse 22 through 27 about the present, and he said, we'll read part of this. We read it just a minute ago. We'll read it over again. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. Praise God, I don't have that to look for. If it happens, it won't be because I knew it today. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more, whereof I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, I'm glad that I'm not saying that this is the last time I'll see you, because I'm not changing churches, I'm just retiring. And so I'll see you, those of you that are adults in an adult Sunday school class, I'll see you as a teacher weekly. I'll see you as a friend, as a member, as a worker continually. But as we look at today, we're challenged with change. And change isn't always easy, you know. Some people want change and are excited about it. Other people don't want anything to change. You know, they say one of the greatest sentences of Baptists is, "We never done it that way before," you know. And so change is a special thing. Not always an easy thing. Sometimes it's hard. And I just want you to know ahead of time that I talked to Brother Destry here a while back, and I said, listen, you stick by the stuff of the Bible, and anything else you want to change will be fine with me. You know, I mean, I don't expect him to come in here and be Dennis McKinley. I told him, I said, you know, when I started preaching, I wanted to be Gene Woods. Gene Woods was my preacher that I saved under, and he was, to this day, I'll say the greatest preacher I've ever known. He was just a wonderful, mighty preacher. And I had some other good pastors, Brother Leon Gray, Brother Cecil Wagner. I mean, good pastors. But when I got into the ministry, I wanted to be Gene Woods. And I'll tell you what, Gene Woods was a fire-eating, hellfire and brimstone, stomping, romping, running, kicking, shouting preacher. I mean, and he didn't care if you liked it or not. As a matter of fact, if he said something he thought you didn't like, he'd stick his chin out over the pulpit and run his tongue and go like that. And you knew that he just made a statement that he knew was going to be controversial, but he didn't care. If you don't like it, take a swing at it. It's right here, you know. I mean, and I thought, man, that's what I want to be. And that worked for about a year, maybe. Cookie said 2 days. I tried to do that for about a year, maybe. And then I said, you know, when God called me, he didn't call Gene Woods. He called Dennis McKinley. And I'm just going to have to try and be the best preacher God can make me and forget trying to be somebody else. And that's what I want Brother Destry to do. Be Destry. Be Destry. Teach as Destry would teach. Preach as Destry would preach. Lead as Destry would lead. But still, at the same time, being true to the book. True to the book. Still, at the same time, teaching practically all those things that are profitable to you. And at the same time, being, as Paul said, he was humble before you, not being I'm the man, pat me on the back, but being the man that loves you and wants to serve you, and I just, you know, but if he wants to change the way, you know, if he wants to change a visitation situation, or he wants to change the decorations, or if he wants to change the Sunday school material, which he does, if he wants to change, I mean, those things, that's not a problem. Now, sometimes it's not easy to change, you know, and sometimes we kick and snort about it, but just as long as you stay scriptural, I have confidence in Brother Destry, and I know that if we all get behind him, he'll take this church to greater heights than it's ever been at before. And we want that. We not only expect that, we want it. I pray that Landmark doesn't remain as it was, but becomes all that God wants it to be. You know? And as we face our presence, Paul, letting Paul be our guide, he says three things here in these verses to the Corinthian church. Number one, he says, run by faith. Put your faith in God and allow him to lead and run by faith. And number two, run for Christ. Be an example. Let Christ be your guide. Let Christ be your example. Then you take it beyond that, you know. That saying that was so popular years ago is still true. What would Jesus do? You know, I mean, it's still true. We ought to wonder, how would Jesus handle this situation? Or what would Jesus do if he were a member of Landmark Baptist Church? Or, you know, run for Christ. And then the third thing here that Paul said was, I run for the finish line. I run for the finish line. Paul says, when I run a race, he says, not all run, but if you run to win. And if you're not going to win, at least finish, huh? I mean, some people aren't the fastest, but when they cross that finish line, everybody's proud. I mean, you run for the finish line. You plan to just keep running and keep doing. People say to me, so you're going to be out of the ministry? I said, no. I'm just not going to be a pastor. The ministry goes on. The work of God doesn't finish until God says it's done. And that's what Paul says. I'm headed for a finish. But listen, if you read the rest of the book of Acts, you find that Paul wasn't near finished yet. He still had a few kings and stuff to witness to, you know. He had some, still had some storms to go through and some battles to fight. And he still had a great work left before him. And so as Paul looks at the present, he says, he says change is coming because I'm not going to come this way again. You got new leaders. And you need to follow them. And then he talks about the future in verse 28 through 35. Verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity. And to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words which the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so Paul looks in with the Ephesians church here. He looks into the future, and he offers here a mixed bag of views of what's going to be in the future. He points out that some negative things are going to occur. Some people are going to try to divide and destroy and deceive the church. He says wolves are going to come in, and be ready for that. Recognize that not everything is good. It's not all honey and roses, you know. He says some are going to come in speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And he says, recognize that in the future, the challenge is to be ready, to stay in the book and to stay in the truth of God, and to keep your heart and your mind and your direction pointed in the right direction, and be ready because it's going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged continually. You know, we're living in an age when people are beginning to say these Christians are just going to have to drop some of their views so that they can fit the now world. And listen, I think they're right. We'll drop ours as soon as God drops his. You know? But strangers are going to come in, and they're going to speak perverse things, and they're going to try and do things to draw disciples aside unto themselves. You know, Satan is our personal enemy. He's the enemy of God, and he's the enemy of the Landmark Baptist Church. And we realize that. Because of that, he's going to work overtime to try to destroy this church, and especially in periods of transition. There are always weak periods in a period of transition, whether it be in organizations or in churches or in everything in life. Don't let Satan have his way. You have the power of Almighty God on your side, and you can be victorious to stay focused on what he's called Landmark Baptist Church to do. Three practical words of advice for the future. Number one, build up others in Christ. Verse number 32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And so Paul says to build up others in Christ. He says, listen, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. I give you the tools that are necessary to build up. And the tools are, number one, God. Number two, the word of his grace. And he says, as you look into the future, make these things vital. Make these things important to you. God and the word of his grace to build up others. And then to build together as a unit for Christ. He says here in verse number 35, he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so to do the work, to build together. Listen, as individuals, it can get real hard in the battle. But as a unit, pushing towards specific demands and directions and desires, and this church could do anything. Anything that God wants it to do. As a unit, it can. And so he says, let's build up others, but let's build together. Let's do it in a unified direction here. Let's labor together. And then he says, to build it like Christ built it. Build it like Christ built it. By the way, in 21st century standards, Christ was kind of a failure. I mean, he was God. He had 12 main helpers, and one of them was a devil. He built his church all the way to 120. And a lot of people nowadays would have called him a failure. But we know he wasn't. The whole world changed because of him. Amen. And it's never been the same since and will never be the same. And realize that we build like Christ built. We look around. We grasp those things that are important. We guard ourselves from those things that are contrary. You know, how many times did somebody stand up against Christ and try to change a direction, try to ask him a question that some way they could foul him up or falsely accuse him of things, or try to make him make decisions according to what they thought would be the only righteous decision that he could make, but according to God. You remember who I'm talking about, the woman that had committed adultery, and they came and they wanted him to say, pick up a stone and stone him, but instead he says, the person here that has no sin, you cast the first stone. And they didn't know it, but he knew it. There was only one person there could throw that stone. But his statement was, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. By the way, the statement was, it doesn't bother me that you sin, just enjoy yourself. He said, go and sin no more. But his statement was, neither do I condemn, I'm not throwing a rock either. Yeah. I mean, build like Christ built. Let him be the example in the future as to how to build the work of God. And then his final words are in verse number 36 down through 38 when he says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. And Paul said, let's have a last prayer meeting. Let's pray together. He was willing to go. And so he kneeled down and prayed with them, and they wept. But you see, Paul had a road that he had to continue on. He had a Lord that he had to continue to obey. And he was ready to go. And so he just said, let's pray. Let's pray. And with that, I'd like us to stand together. With the realization today that we're transitioning and I'm going to go. I'm still going to be here, but I'm not going to be your pastor anymore. By the way, if you come and ask me pastorly things, don't be surprised when I tell you, you need to talk to your pastor about that. Because if I don't do that, Brother Destry could never be the pastor. But if I'm faithful to do it, he can be the pastor quickly. And realize that. And with that, I want to ask Brother Destry and Miss Amber to come down here. And Miss Amber, you lay your camera down long enough to do that. She's been taking pictures of this service. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, we're going to pray together, but I'm going to ask you, if you will, to those of you who are of a mind to, if we just come and kind of gather around them as we say goodbye and as they say hello. And so if you'd come right now as we get ready for prayer, and then we'll have a final prayer. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come, Lord, and not the easiest thing I've ever done to say farewell. But God, full of joy because we place this church into the hands of a man that I know loves you, loves this church, these people, this work. God, I just want to ask you now to fill him with the Spirit of God. Lift him up in a special way. Help him to immediately become Pastor Destry McDonald and Miss Amber. God, I pray that you just bless them. Bless their home. Bless their leadership. Give them strength, give them direction, give them wisdom in the multitudes of decisions that have to be made. God, I just ask you, Lord. He's been a great blessing to Miss Cookie and I through these years that he's been our assistant. And God, I just pray you'd help us as a church to be a great blessing to him in the years to come, to follow his leadership and to help him as he strives to do the work of God. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, when we dismiss here in a minute, they'll be back there in the back, and you'll be able to stop by and welcome them and tell them that you'll help them any way that you can and all of those things. But we have a couple other things to do here. Number one, we're going to get Brother Chris to bring the ushers down. We're going to take an offering. And number two, we're going to dismiss Destry and Miss Priscilla to go back and get ready for baptism. We're going to have a short baptismal service. So, is there somebody you want me to actually speak to get up here to help? You're going to take Lance? All right, Brother Lance, he wants you to help. All right, we'll get ready for a baptismal service here. Let's bow our heads in prayer for the offering, and then we'll get Miss Vicky to come back up here. There she is. She's already here. Come back up here and play for us, okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. God, we do pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to get in behind Destry and, Lord, to help him in a great way. I pray that you'd bless the offering now, Lord, that the monies that are taken will be spent in a wise way to further and glorify the work of God. Thank you, Lord, for all of these that have come today. Lord, what a thrill it's been to my heart. We just pray that you'd bless them in a special way for it. We ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. By now, I'm going to, as we wait for Brother Destry, just ask Miss Vicky to play, and you can just kind of fellowship for a minute. And after baptism, we'll just pray and be dismissed. But don't forget tonight, if you can sing, you would sing tonight. Please just sign up on the welcome center back there for the Singspiration, and come prepared for that. And according to how many sign up, we'll have some testimonies too tonight, okay? Thank you. Pray for Priscilla. She's afraid of water.